Well, all right. Well, we are in a series called Enlighten. And does anyone remember the challenge that I said was going to be for 4 weeks in a row? Anybody? No? 4 weeks, one application, all the way through? Anything? Here we go. Yeah? It's cool. Okay, that's good. Spread Christianity. That's a safe one. Anybody else? More specific? Anything? Okay, so my challenge for 4 weeks in a row is that every single person in this room would share their faith with one other person. If we did that, 300 people would have had a conversation in this month about spiritual truth. And it's important because although it feels at times like everyone knows about the truth, many don't. And so this morning, we're continuing the series of Enlighten as I go behind the stage. Whoop, pulling out. And we are talking about fishing. Is anybody fishing here? Anybody? We got some girls that fish too. Fellas, well done. Even more than I would have thought. Well, we're talking about fishing this morning, and I don't know a ton about fishing. I wish that I did. I feel like it's a manly thing, but it's sad that I don't. So I didn't fish a lot growing up. I fished a few times, but even to this day, have never understood kind of the idea behind fishing. It's like a waiting game. Who can wait out the fish, not go to the bathroom, not eat, do anything? Whoever can handle steering contest the longest ends up winning. And so fishing has never really, I don't know if I'm too ADD or whatever it is, but it's never been huge for me. But when I was younger, my little brother loved to fish, so we would go fish from time to time down by this pond near my house. It was like 3 miles. So we would get on our bikes, and on this one occasion, we were both 10 years old. Well, I was 10. How were we both 10? I was 10. He was younger. He was like 7. And we rode down there, and if you can imagine two kids riding on their bikes, holding fishing poles with Coke and hot dogs in our backpack, we'd go down there, fish, and we'd eat hot dogs and drink Coke, and he'd catch fish, and I would lose. And so we'd hang out, and on one particular occasion, we were down there, and we were fishing. And after about an hour or so, he had already caught 2 fish, and I hadn't caught anything. And so I continued to cast out, which if you're not a fisherman, it just means you cast out into the water, and then you reel back in by this thing. It's called a reel. And so I did this repeatedly for like over an hour and didn't catch anything. And so after probably 15 times of throwing out and casting in, my reel breaks off. And so I'm left with just the pole and the line attached to it. With me? So this thing breaks off. I've got the pole and the line. So I sit down in sadness and eat hot dogs and watch him fish. So after even a while of that, I decide that I had seen fly fishing done before. Anybody fly fished before? Okay, well, I still to this day don't know exactly what fly fishing was, but I'd seen these pictures, and if you're watching any TV, you've probably seen this picture at some point where there's a guy in waders who's like standing in the water and fly fishing, and so he's got the rod and he's throwing it out into the water. I don't understand how it works, whether they jump up and bite it. Maybe you do. Is that fly fishing? Is that how it works? Anyways, okay, we'll talk about that after because I do want to know. But right, so he throws it out, and there's this guy that's just whipping back and forth. And so I've got a pole and the line, right? And so I decide I'm going to fly fish. So I put a hot dog I put the hot dog on my hook, and I go out in the water, and I start walking out. I don't know why I thought that you had to stand in the water, but I'm standing in basketball shorts, not in waders, in the water. And I'm whipping my pole around trying to catch fish. So it goes into the water, and I whip it back. And then it goes into the water, and whip it back. On one cast, as I throw it out there, my hot dog flies off of the hook. Ready this? But I didn't see it, so I didn't know that it happened. And so I throw it into the water, and as it flies off, or maybe just some fish mugged me while I was down there and it's hanging out below, but it hooks onto this stick. But again, I'm 10. I didn't see it fly off. I think I've caught something, right? And so I'm pulling on my pole, and I'm trying to get whatever it is to come back out of here. I think it's got to be this enormous fish. I'm about to finally show my brother up once and for all. I've got this fish in the water, and I pull and pull and pull, and all of a sudden, pop. And it doesn't break the line, as probably you fish might have thought. But the hook comes loose, and all of a sudden it comes as I'm whipping back, barreling into my leg, and I'm standing there which it's a small hook, so it's like a shot, it doesn't hurt very bad at all. But so I'm standing there with a fishing pole and the line attached to my leg. And if you know anything about hooks, they're specifically designed to not come out of the fish, right? So they've got this barb, so I can't get the hook out of my leg. My little brother has already taken off to go back to the home. I'm sitting there standing. Next thing, we're in the emergency room. I'm walking around with a pole on my leg. And they have to do something where they end up cutting and let me go. But, the end of the story is I started off, and that even experiment to try to catch fish ended with me catching flesh or me or man. And I tell you that only to say there's a similar story that we see in the Bible that involves something kind of like this. And it wasn't a story where somebody caught somebody with a hook, but it was a story where Jesus went up to two men that were fishing, kind of like me and my brother were that day, and he goes up to them, and we know they'd had other conversations before that, so he knew these guys, and he comes up and he says something that is the entire central theme behind today's message. And he tells them this, and he gives us his principle, and so they're going to put it up on the screen. It's Matthew 4:19, and it says this. It basically says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Some of you guys probably heard this before. He goes up to Andrew and Peter. They're fishing in the water. And he goes up and he says, "Hey, that's great. You know what? If you follow me, I'm going to make you into something. Follow me." And that's probably not the reason they followed him. It's not the reason any of us follow him that makes us fishers of men. It probably ends up being that we get to go to heaven or a million other reasons most people begin to follow him. But he says, "Look, if you decide to follow me, something is going to happen. And I'm going to make you into something." And he doesn't say, "I'm going to make you into a better friend or a better son or daughter or a better student or athlete or a million other things that might even happen as you begin to follow." But he says, "If you follow me, I will make you a fisher of men." And he gives us this principle, and this is huge. To follow Jesus is to fish. To follow is to fish. To follow. So here, even repeat it back to me. So we'll just say it real quick. Say, to follow. Everybody, one more time. That was the weakest sound I've ever heard. To follow.
Is to fish.
To follow is to fish.
To follow is to fish.
And so that's huge. And here's why this is huge. Because if you go forth, and if I go on with the rest of my life, I could spend all my time being invested in small group or in K-Life group or in Christian schools and a million other things that are good things, and I could neglect what is the purpose and entire point of why Christ came. I could neglect, stay with me, here we go, right here. I could neglect the entire reason Christianity exists. And I'm going to prove that to you this morning, but stay with me, because to follow is to fish. And if you do not get this, you'll miss the entire point of Christianity. It's almost like certain people, especially as you get older, you hear people talk about the NBA and college basketball, and they always say, "Man, I don't like the NBA. It's got too cluttered up with people that are only in it for the money or for the fame or for a million other reasons. I like college basketball, March Madness. That's what I'm talking about. That's where it's at." People are in it for the right reasons. And what they say is essentially what might happen to us. We're not, they say that the things around the NBA clutter it up so much that they miss the point of what it's really about. And you and I are in the same danger if we don't get this idea that to follow is to fish, because we will let good things clutter our vision and we will forget that to follow is to fish. To follow is to fish. And so the reason this is that way, the reason to follow is to fish, is because Christ knew, and the Bible teaches us, that Christianity is all about saving. Your life and my life and Christ coming to earth and living the life he lived was all about saving, about casting out and bringing out from dark, deep waters into light what was there. So Christ came to save, and I'm going to give you just a couple references, then I'm going to tell you a real quick story. And then I'm going to tell you a real quick story, and then I'm going to give you just quick application, and we're done. But a couple places we see this, I wish we had time to go into it, but all throughout the New Testament, and really the Bible, we see this teaching that God loved man enough to send his son into the world to save and to seek out what was lost. We see it in a story called Zacchaeus, who was a wee little man, a wee little man. We see that's right. Okay, so Zacchaeus is this really, he's like, for all purposes, a thief. He's just kind of a thug that has just abused a ton of people in this city. And Christ shows up and he ends up staying at his house. And people get upset with him for it. How could you endorse and how could you improve? And you're just encouraging what he's doing. And he says, "Look, I didn't come to throw parties for religious people. I came to seek and save the people who are not in relationship with God. Seek and save the lost, the boys and girls in your class, in my class." My class. I do have class, but all of them are Christians. DTS. So I do have class, but in your class and in your teams And in a million other places that you go all the time, Christ has sent you to seek and save. We see it again in the teachings of John the Baptist. We see it in Jesus tells these three stories where he talks about a lamb and sheep, 99 are there, one runs away. He tells about a coin. On and on, if you open up your Bible this week, you can find easily a story about where Jesus talks about, I didn't come to make people more in small groups, but I came to seek and save what was lost. That what was lost would be found. That the sick would be made healthy. And so that is what we are in danger of, and I'm in danger of, if I neglect the idea that to follow is to fish, because there are so many around you and around me who do not know the love of their Father, who do not know the story of their great God, and they've missed it. Or they think they know it, and they've missed it. And that's why to follow is to fish. And so the passage that I chose today was after Jesus had died and he was buried and then he raised, and it says he went back to heaven. After Jesus did that, there was a guy named Peter who was kind of the head of the followers of Jesus. And Peter took an opportunity. We read about this in Acts. Say Acts. All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Acts. Okay, so we read about this in Acts. And stay with me. Just look at me. Don't look at the screen right now, because here's what happens. Peter, in the second chapter, in the second chapter, goes on to explain what we're about to read. But what had just happened was Jesus had gone back and Peter's starting up Christianity with the followers, right? And so they start this movement and they start the church and they start everything that really is continued to today. And so he's starting this up, and there's a weekend event in the city he's living in. So he's living in this city, Jerusalem, and most of you guys know, but he's living in the city, and there's this huge weekend event that's bringing in thousands of people. It's almost like the state fair. So thousands of people are in town that aren't normally there, and they're hanging out, and they're eating food, and they're talking, and Peter and some of the followers are doing things, and they're speaking in such a way that others around them that are in town just visiting are like, what is going on with those people? And Peter responds, and he gives an answer to the reason that the followers of Jesus were acting how they were. And he begins to explain Christianity. He begins to explain why Jesus came. He begins to explain what the story of the Bible, and how some people, maybe they thought they knew it, but they missed it. And then just a very clear way explains Christianity. And some listen, just like when you and I talk to people about Jesus, some of them listen and some of them don't. But the ones who listen, they said this, and here's where we pick it back up. They asked They asked Peter, how can we be saved? What do we need to do about this? And he says this, look, repent and be baptized. Repent is just a word that means just think, believe. It means change how you think. So, repent, be baptized, every one of you, and here's what you'll get. Believe and receive forgiveness. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this is what's huge. This is the driving theme of this whole message. This next line, I read it, when I read this a few weeks ago, I was just studying at a Starbucks, and when I read this verse, I sat up in my chair and I was blown away, because I, like you maybe, can forget that the story and message of Christ really is. It's not like a lie, there's not like a one-liner in there. It's always and will always be about taking what is far away and bringing that to Him. Taking what is lost and making it found. Taking what is far away and bringing it to them. And so Peter looks out in this crowd of thousands of people that are in town for this state fair kind of thing. And they're sitting around, and here's what he does. He explains how they can believe. And a lot of them were not Jews, which is kind of what Peter was. He was a Jewish guy, which basically means a lot of them believe in kind of the Greek gods, or they didn't believe in God, or if there was a God, I don't know if he's really there, or who knows. A lot like our friends around us even today. And so a lot of them are Jews, some of them are Gentiles. And here's what he says to this crowd. Here we go. This is huge. If you get nothing else, get this right here. He says, you think the promise is not for you, but you need to know, repent, believe, receive the Holy Spirit, because the promise is for you and your children, you and your family. It's for you and those around you. But not only is it for you, it's for you and your family and for all who are far off. That the promises of God are not just for you or for I, or people who have never murdered, or people who have never done bad things, or people who have never done a million other things. That sometimes it just feels like God's got more favor on us because, you know, we're good people. At least I can think that sometimes.
And here's what he says. No, the promise isn't for you or for people in church or for people around you, but it is for everyone who's ever lived. That you and I have never met someone who the promise of hope and life is not for. That you have never sat next to someone that is crazy, who God does not say, you want to know who the promises of God and who eternal life are for? It's for this person. And it's for this person, and this person, and all people that speak all languages, that live in all places, that have lived at all times. Everyone who is far off. The message of Christianity is for all people. And if we are not careful, and we don't remember that to fish is to follow. Yes, good call. Well done. To follow is to fish. We're going to miss the entire point of Christianity because Christ came so that those who were far away might know Him and experience Him. And so I kind of put together just a few things of application points of what it looks like. And here's this is huge, and I hope that you'll do it, but the application would be right now to think of one person you know that doesn't have a relationship with Christ, or you're not even sure. You might not even know, but you're not sure. One person in your life. I did this with my small group guys this week. We just went around and we talked about the people that we could be praying for that didn't know Christ. So right now, stop, pause, here we go. One person who doesn't know Jesus, who you know. Think about it. I'm going to try it again because I feel like some of you guys are just looking at me and you're not actually doing it. One person. Think right now. Close your eyes if you have to, if you're too distracted by the stage or what's going on. One person who does not know Christ, who would not spend eternity with Him. And here's what I want you to do. It's real simple, and it's a little bit undefined based on you, but your application is to begin to ask yourself this week with that one person, what would it look like for me to begin to share my faith and not just say, hey, y'all sin and you need to reconcile, if you're going to burn, but just to think, even just subtle ways, what would, if it ever happened, maybe we'll get to a spiritual conversation, maybe we won't, but if we did, maybe this is how we get there. What are maybe some ideas or places I could bring him to, or I could just hang out with him, that you would begin to ask yourself, if they ever did become a Christian because of me, what are some ways that maybe that would look like? And so from there, there's three things that I do whenever I have someone that I am in relationship with that does not know the Lord. And a good practice for all of us, as you know, we've talked about it before, is just to continue to invest in those relationships. And maybe your homework, if you don't know someone that doesn't know the Lord, is to go find one. But here's the ideas that just I do and some of them work, some of them don't, so it's not all to know, but maybe they'll help you on just some ideas. I pray, God, give me boldness to speak, because sometimes I'm a coward and I don't want to say it. Give me boldness, God, help me. I pray for that person by name. God, only you can save them. I can't. And I know that you love them, so I pray for them. By name, maybe you pray for them by name this week. Spend time with them and hanging out with them. Some of you guys will do this, and the ones that will begin to understand, to follow as the fish, here's why this is exciting. Because you are 12 and 13 and 14 years old, and if right now you begin to follow and to fish and to understand that and to begin to get the purpose behind Christianity, you'll get better at it. You'll get better at it. And so you're 13 right now, but you won't be 36 someday and not know how to share your faith still. You'll get better at it. Just like when you started texting for the first time, or you started playing video games, or you started playing the piano. Whatever you did, it was really awkward at first. Maybe you guys have been texting this generation. You guys have been texting a long time. But it was really awkward at first, and then you got better at it, right? And playing the piano was awkward at first, but you get better. And so if you start right now, and if I continue, or if I start right now, then I will be, by the time I get older, I will be even better, and I'll continue to grow. And it's not a rush. I don't need to be able to have people falling down around me today. But if you just start, even just begin to embrace the idea to follow as the fish, and you begin to think just in the way of, man, what would it maybe look like? Maybe, this is crazy, I know, that people would follow and fish. But maybe, if we ever did, what would maybe that look like? And that's just today. And maybe you just thought that 10 days in a row. And then on the 11th day, you did something a little bit more. That you and I would even begin to think, to follow, is to fish. Because the promise is for all people. Everywhere. And God loves all of His children as He stands away from them and puts you and I that we would cast out and reel in and give hope to a hurting people. So the best way that I could think of illustrating this was, I have a friend on staff who is named Patrick, who does a lot of the music department stuff around here. But anyways, he's got a baby named Preston. And a while back, he had me babysit his, this baby's 10 months old at the time. So he has me babysit his 10-month-old. And so I didn't grow up with, a lot of you guys are laughing because you know where this is going. So I didn't grow up with babies. I don't know a lot about babies. It was really the first time I'd ever spent more than like 4 seconds with a baby. He drops off this baby. And of course, I'm thinking, oh, I'll just read. He said he falls asleep at 7:30. And so I'll just read for an hour and then, you know, I'll put him down and get on with the night. And so anyways, so I end up realizing very quickly that babies, if anybody had little brothers, little sisters, they're crawling around on the floor trying to choke themselves on everything that's inside, right? And so he's like wandering. So it wasn't an hour filled with doing anything other than hovering over this little torpedo that was crawling on the moon. He couldn't even walk, but he's crawling everywhere. He's mobile. And he would go from thing to thing and just try to stick it in his mouth. And so... After an hour, and here's what happened the whole time. Patrick, the father, is calling me and texting me because when he leaves, he realizes, probably a mistake, this might not be a good idea. So their date night ended up being a little bit shorter, but he's calling. And he's telling me, no, don't do that, don't give him this, he can't eat that, he's a baby. And he's giving me a million other things that he's instructing me how to handle this kid, right? And so 7:30 comes around, and I try to put him down, and I'm putting him in the thing, and cradle, or... what is it? Crib. There it is. Oh my gosh, this is bad. So I put him in the crib, and I've got this baby, and I set him down, and then he won't stop crying. And so I pick him up, and I shake him a little, not shake him, but bounce him. I put him back in the, not shake him. Oh my gosh, don't tell your parents that. Kidding, you can tell him anything. So I put him back in the crib, and he starts crying again, so I pick him back up. This goes on for a little bit. Patrick's been calling every 5 minutes, so when next time he calls, I can't get the baby to fall asleep. And he's like, oh, well, there's some sort of Benadryl that you can rub on the lips of maybe the girl's mouth. You like put it underneath his mouth, makes him fall asleep. Maybe he was doing something wrong and now it's out of the bag. And so anyways, he says in the bag there's this thing, I don't know what, it's like Benadryl that makes him fall asleep. So you put him in and so, sure, whatever it is. So I put the Orajel in, I lay him down, I put it on his mouth and he won't stop crying. So I go application 2, and I put it on there again, and then like 3, and then you just fall asleep. Realize he's got some business in his diaper, so I go to change that. I've never changed the diaper. I'm setting it down. The thing you don't know about babies, if you've changed one or not changed one, is they don't sit still. So he's going to be a pilot and doing barrel rolls on the table. And I'm just trying to, so at one point I'm picking him up, trying to wrap the diaper around. It was just, they get home and the diaper's on backwards, and I'm like, I still don't know how to put on a diaper. But my point of the whole story is this. The entire time that the father was away and the mom was away, they would not stop checking in and giving clear instruction on how to care for my son. How to take care of my son. While I am away, I'm going to make it real clear. Here's what you do. Here's how you do it. And I couldn't help in preparing for this talk to think that that is exactly what Christ has done with you and with me as He has spoken very clearly. Here's how you care for my sons. Don't think that just because dad's away, I don't care about him. I care a lot about him. Here's how you do it. Engage with them. To follow is to fish. Care for them. If you know lost people, I'm sure that this has crossed your mind before. And I think about that story it happened a year ago, but I think about it from time to time, and I'm reminded of how much God loves all of His children, even while they are away from Him. And He has put you there that you would enlighten your schools and your teams and every place that you go to, that you would be fishers of men. And not crazy, I'm not even talking crazy, but even if you as people who are Christian would be just think, what would it look like? What would even the first step be as I move towards that? To follow is to fish. And you and I are here to enlighten. I'm going to pray for us and then we'll get on to the announcements and get you guys out of here for the Sunday 10-10-10. How crazy is that? Heavenly Father, I thank you for just this morning. I thank you for your word and your instruction to me and to all of us on how to care for those who are far from their Father. I pray that you would allow us to understand and you would remind me to follow is to fish. Get after it. And I'd stop thinking about small group and a million other things that clutter up that are good things that I should be doing and I want in my life and need to be in my life. But I would begin to just even slightly think that to follow is to fish. And how am I going to enlighten this day and my group and this school with my life? We love you and we thank you for Jesus, the ultimate Savior and one who came and pulled us back to our Heavenly Father when we were gone. It's in His beautiful name we pray. Amen.